Please be seated. I shall pray. Father God, may we honour you with lives that display our worship to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Lord, who delivers us from all our sins. Amen. So as the story says, Mary and Lazarus. Mary was Lazarus and Martha's sister. And they were wealthy people and dear friends of Jesus and followers of Jesus, and he would often visit them. They truly believed in Jesus. And when Lazarus died, and I'll put this in the context, I want to share this bit, that the conversation Jesus had with Mary and Martha, because it puts a little bit of context to what we're going to share. So when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha said to Jesus, "If you were here, Lazarus would not have died." They actually believed that Jesus would have healed him. And Jesus says, "Lazarus will rise again." And Martha says, "Yes, Jesus, in a resurrection at the last day." But Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He asks this. And here Jesus is referring to the life of faith we have in Christ, his life in us. Martha then says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of God, come into the world." It was after this that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This is Jesus' last visit to Lazarus' place with the disciples, and as it said in the reading, 6 days before his crucifixion. And Mary pours the oil of pure nard on Jesus' feet and then wipes the oil with her hair. In the reading, we see that pure nard was an incredibly expensive oil. Mary had purchased it for the express reason of anointing Jesus' feet. Now, in ancient days, nard was used for the anointing of kings and for the preparation of a body for burial. Mary knew that Jesus' mission was to die for us. Jesus had said this so many times before. She was the one that sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teachings. She hung on every word he said and believed him emphatically. Because of this, Jesus said to Mary, "She has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Now, a woman's hair in those days was their glory. Now, Mary uses what is deemed as her honour to wipe Jesus' feet. Feet which were regarded then as something soiled in the way of life. Mary's action preempts Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. In that situation, Jesus humbles himself to the job of the lowest servant in the house, symbolizing the cleansing of us from the stains of this world called sin. In ancient tradition as well, kneeling before someone was an act to honor them. Kneeling to wash Jesus' feet was Mary's offering to serve Jesus with her whole heart in everything she did and everything she said. Mary humbles herself, disregarding her wealth and her glory, to declare that Jesus is her Lord and her salvation. She esteems him more valuable than the most expensive perfume, and more precious than her own personal importance. There is another story, very similar to this, in Luke 7. A woman comes to the home of Simon the Pharisee, where Jesus is sharing a meal at his place. This woman anoints his feet with oil and washes them with her tears, brushing them with her kisses, and wiping them with her hair as well. She too has humbled herself to take on the role of a servant. The Pharisee points out that she is a sinner and known in the city as a sinner. And Jesus retorted the Pharisee, saying that he had taken him for granted with no show of honour. He had not greeted him with a kiss or anointed his hair or washed his feet. This woman who had found forgiveness through Jesus in her abundant gratitude expressed this deep sense of humility. Perhaps, and it doesn't say so, but just perhaps, she was the woman that the Pharisees wanted to stone to death for adultery. Jesus forgave her then, saying, "Neither do I condemn you." And he says, "Go now and sin no more." Once again, a Pharisee's condemnation is a silence in this story. Now he assures her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Mary, a wealthy woman, and this poor woman both knew who Jesus was. Despite their status, they came to understand him through the mercy of God. They knew Jesus as their Saviour and deliverer from their sins. They knew both honoured Jesus as their Lord, taking on the role of the lowest servant to show their gratitude. What if it was us? What would we do? But it is us. We have come into God's house and received forgiveness and cleansing of our souls. Do we hang on to our worldly securities or surrender them to God? Not so he takes them away, but so that he is Lord over us and all we have and all that we are. We could so easily be like the Pharisee and like Judas, completely misunderstanding what was happening. Both these men were dedicated in their religion. However, full of their own self-importance, these men took the grace of God for granted. They did not see who Jesus was or understood his mission. These two women understood with a deep sense how privileged they were in their encounter with Jesus, who brought them into their Father's love. Now, each Sunday, at the end of the service, we come to the prayer that expresses our gratitude of Christ's interaction into our lives. We say this: "Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory." We are, in fact, saying, "Show us whose feet need washing from the dregs of the world so that we can wash their feet with Christ's tears of love and his oil of forgiveness." And that prayer comes from Romans 12, verse 1. And the verse is completed with these words: "This is our true and proper worship." When we come into the grace of God, our eyes are open to the unfathomable wonder of his love. And we innately and naturally want to express this to others. And I'll finish by reading again the words of Paul to the Philippians, but from the Amplified Version. "Whatever former things were gains to me, these things I once regarded as achievements in merit, I have come to consider as loss, absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given me. But more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him. A joy unequaled. For his sake, I have lost everything. I consider it all garbage so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, believing and relying on him, not having any righteousness of my own, delivered from my obedience, derived from my obedience to the law and its rituals, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And this, so that I may know him, become more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable words of his person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in us as believers. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives truly overwhelm us in the knowledge of your sacrificial love, that you sent Jesus to reconcile us into your embrace, in which we cry, Abba, Father. Let our lives be as living acts of worship to you, like Mary's nard. Let our lives be a sweet incense to your senses. May our tears of gratitude fall on your feet for the forgiveness you so freely have given us. God, whose mission is to bring us home, Jesus, our Saviour and Deliverer of sin, Holy Spirit, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, we humble ourselves before you in thankfulness for your infinite love. Amen.